And the question this morning is, do you believe in the one they call Jesus? I'm going to mention just a number of reasons, and I would assume that most of you, as I, do believe in the one they call Jesus. But what I want to do, I want to reaffirm, to help you and myself, to reaffirm our faith in Christ. 82 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Son of Man. 82 times, Christ is called the Son of Man. 27 times, He's called the Son of God. He's called the Son of Man more times than He is called the Son of God. When Christ spoke of Himself, He always spoke of Himself as the Son of Man. So Jesus was both the Son of Man and the Son of God. The Old Testament pointed from Genesis to Mount Malachi the coming of Jesus Christ. Coming of the Messiah. From Matthew through John, it teaches us that Christ is here. That Christ has come. The Old Testament teaches that Christ will come, and the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tells us that Christ is here. And that from Acts through the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that Christ will come again. So here we have the Bible, the New Testament, 66 books in the New Testament, all dealing with the subject of Christ. Now I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the promise that Almighty God made unto Abraham. Now you that are Bible students, you are familiar with the life of Abraham. Abraham in the Bible is called the father of the faithful. Abraham is known in Hebrews 11 as a great hero of the Bible. Abraham is known as a man that was a servant and walked with God. He did all the things that God told him to do. When Abraham was 60 years of age, he lived in a city that was called Ur of the Chaldeans, in the country of Mesopotamia. God looked down upon Abram. At that time his name was Abram. And God called Abram. He said unto Abram, I want you to leave your kindred and your father's house, and through thy seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. We find that Abraham pulled up lock, stock, and barrel and left the Ur where he was a rich man. Well thought of, gold and silver and cattle of many. He pulled up and he left Ur of the Chaldeans and went to Haran. And at 75 years of age, according to Genesis chapter 12, and verse 1, beginning there, God again renewed the promise that God made unto Abraham 15 years earlier. So here we find Abraham in Haran renewing the promise that through thy seed, notice the word, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham was the root of the nation of Israel, because Israel came from the loins of Abraham. And in reality, Jacob's name was changed from Jacob unto Israel. We find then that Abraham was given a promise. And I believe in the one they call Jesus because Christ fulfilled the promise that had been given unto Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the churches of Christ in Galatia, the churches of Christ in Galatia was made up of many Jews. It had also some Gentiles. But in Galatians chapter 3, listen to what Paul has to say concerning the promise that God made unto Abraham 2,000 or so years earlier. He said in verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Notice, the Apostle Paul is using Abraham to show that Christ is the fulfillment of the promise that had been given unto Abraham hundreds of years earlier. And he says, now, the promises he made unto Abraham. Now, what was the promises that God made unto Abraham? Well, the promises was made unto Abraham that through his seed, through his loins, through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. Not just the Jews, but all nations, both Jew and Gentile. And thus the Apostle Paul is showing unto the Christians in Galatia. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he said not, and to seeds as of many, but of as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Here the Apostle Paul is saying unto the Galatian church, now the promise that God made unto Abraham, all the Jews knew about Abraham. In fact, they were proud of the fact they were descendants of Abraham. So here we find that Paul goes back to the time in which Abraham had been given the promise. He said, now Abraham was given a promise, and though years after years has come and gone, the promise was never fulfilled except in Christ. Now when Christ came, it was the promise, it was a fulfillment of the promise that God made unto Abraham. He did not make the promise as unto seeds, plural, but as to seed, and that one is Christ. Paul said that Christ is the fulfillment of the promise that God made unto Abraham. I believe in the one they call Jesus because I believe in the promise that God made unto Abraham. But secondly, I believe in the one they call Jesus because of what God said unto Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, we read where God is speaking unto Moses. Now you remember that Moses was a deliverer. He was a leader of God's people from Egyptian bondage. He was a prophet and a leader that led Israel from Egyptian bondage. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 and 16 and through those next few verses, you'll find that God is communicating or he is speaking unto Moses. Now what he said unto Moses, listen, a prophet shall be raised up from among the brethren like unto thee. Now note, he said unto Moses, here is a prophecy. Remember that Moses is a prophet. A prophet tells something that's going to happen sometime in the future. He represents God. And God speaks unto Moses. He says, now Moses, a prophet, shall be raised up from among the brethren like unto thee. Like unto thee. He goes on in those next few verses to show that you shall hear everything that they shall hear everything he has to say. And if they do not hear that prophet, they will be destroyed from the people. Now, we have the prophecy given in the days of Moses. But now notice, in Acts chapter 3, when the apostle Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, he makes this statement. For Moses, verse 22, Acts chapter 3, for Moses truly said. What did Moses truly say, Peter? Moses truly said, back there, hundreds of years before, Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in everything. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now here, the prophecy is given in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. The fulfillment of that prophecy has now been fulfilled in Christ. The apostle Peter said, for Moses truly said. Where did Moses say it? He said it in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 through that chapter. Moses truly said, a prophet shall be raised up. From among whom? From among the Jewish brethren. He shall be like unto Moses. Well, what was Moses? He was a prophet. He was a leader and a deliverer of the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage. This prophet that has come from among the brethren, likened to Moses, is to be a Jewish prophet, and it is to be the Christ. Peter said, it is the Christ. Now note, in Galatians chapter 3, we read again, where the apostle Paul is speaking again to the Galatians. Now in Galatians chapter 3, he said the law was given 430 years after the promise was made unto Abraham. Now watch it. The promise was given first unto Abraham. And the law was given 430 years after the promise was given unto Abraham. But he said, though it be 430 years, the law was then given. Now the law did not nullify the promise that God made through Moses. Some of the Jews said, well, the law came after the promise was given. The apostle Paul said that exactly right. That's exactly right. The law was given, but the law did not disannul. It did not make void the promise that God gave unto Abraham 430 years earlier. We read in John chapter 5 and verse 46. Jesus said, if you believe in Moses, you will believe in me. For Moses wrote of me. Moses wrote about the coming of Christ. Christ came as a prophet. He was a Jewish prophet. He was the greatest of all prophets. I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the fact that he was a fulfillment of the promise that God made unto Abraham and was a fulfillment of the prophecy that was given by Moses hundreds of years before, you see. But then also, I believe in the one they call Jesus, not only because of what was said unto Abraham, not because of what was said unto Moses, but I believe in the one they call Jesus because of what God said. God said at the baptism of Christ. If you are a Bible student, you remember that Jesus, at age 30 years, came out and went down by the River Jordan. There was a forerunner of Christ by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. He said during his ministry, I must decrease that he will increase. I am not the light, but have been sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist was not a true light, the true light, but he was sent to point man in the way of the light, which was Christ. Christ was the light of the world. So Christ, at age 30 years, he came down, John the Baptist, his forerunner, was baptizing, the Bible tells us, in the River Jordan. Now, let us notice something here. John the Baptist was baptizing in the River Jordan. The Jews, many were coming out, and they were baptized in the River Jordan. Now let's make a point here. It doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say this. It doesn't say that John was baptizing near the river. It doesn't say that John was baptizing at the river. But it tells us that John was baptizing in the river. Water was the element. Immersion was the act of baptism. No person is baptized by sprinkling. Jesus came to be baptized of John's baptism. Not for remission of sins, as John taught, and was reluctant to baptize Christ because he recognized that Christ had no sin. And he was reluctant to baptize Christ. Christ said, suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. And he baptized Christ in the river, not for the remission of sin, but to fulfill all righteousness. Now any person that is not baptized has not fulfilled all righteousness. Jesus said, I want to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Now we learn here a number of things. In this baptism of John, the water was the element and the immersion was the act. You see, burial in water. Jesus was baptized in the river. And as he was being baptized in the river, straightway he came up out of the water. And a dove descended upon him, and there was a voice from God. God said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Note, here we have the promise given unto Abraham. We have the prophecy. We have the prophecy of Moses. Now then we have God saying that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Everything that Christ did was pleasing to God. Jesus let it be known during his ministry, I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father which is in me. Notice again, God said from heaven, John the Baptist and the Apostle John were saying, behold the Lamb of God cometh to take away the sins of the world. So he was baptized. In Matthew 17, we find the transfiguration. If you are a Bible student, you remember that there were three men that was transformed before Peter and John. And as they were transformed, along with Elijah and Moses and Christ, the Bible says, Peter said, should we build three tabernacles? Should we build three tabernacles? Now, a tabernacle was a place of worship or of service unto God. Right away, the apostles thought that what we need to do, we need to build three tabernacles. One for Moses, the great lawgiver. One for Elijah, the great prophet. And one for Christ. One for Christ. One for each. And the voice came from heaven and saying this from God. This, hear ye him. Hear ye him, meaning Christ. Christ was appointed by God, was sent by God, and was endorsed by God. I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the fact that Abraham's promise was fulfilled in Christ. The prophecy of Moses was fulfilled in Christ. And last of all, I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the fact that God said that Christ was his son. And last of all, I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the empty tomb. Because of the empty tomb. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian letter, to the Corinthian church, there were those among the Christians in Corinth that began to deny and turn away from the doctrine of Christ. So what the Apostle Paul did to those that began to denounce the resurrection of Christ, Paul said this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." How did Paul receive this message? He received it by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Paul was not at the empty tomb. Paul didn't see the empty tomb. He was one that was born out of due season. But Paul said, "I received this message." What is the message, Paul? "I received how that Christ died for our sins according unto the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according unto the Scripture." Remember this. Jesus said unto his apostle, "I'll go into Jerusalem. I will be crucified, but in 3 days I will be resurrected from the grave." 3 days I will be resurrected from the grave. Jesus was crucified on Golgotha Hill. His body was taken down from the cross. There was a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea who had a tomb wherein the Bible tells us that no man had ever laid. That means that it was a brand new tomb. It was a tomb where no person had ever been buried. Back at that time, they would buy tombs and drill out a place or chip out a place in the rocks. And they would bury the whole family in that tomb. But now, here the Bible tells us that Joseph of Arimathea had a grave, a new grave, wherein no person had ever been buried. And they put Jesus in that tomb. They put Jesus in that tomb, taking him down from the cross and put him in the tomb. Well, early on Sunday morning, we find that Mary and other Marys and a group of women, they went out. They went out to anoint the body of Christ. They themselves did not understand this time of the nature of the resurrection from the dead. Christ had said, 3 days, I'll be resurrected from the dead. Even the apostles did not understand the resurrection from the dead. And so Mary and Martha and others went out to anoint the body of Christ early on Sunday morning while it was still dark. And they went and they looked in the tomb. And the tomb was empty. The tomb was found empty. And they go back and they find Peter and John. And they instructed them that Jesus is not in the tomb. And John and Peter begin to run unto the tomb. And John outran the apostle Peter. And they looked in the tomb. And the tomb was found empty. And later an angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead. Jesus is not here, but is risen from the dead. I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the promise that God gave unto Abraham. I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the prophecy of Moses. I believe in the one they call Jesus because God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then later he said, "Hear ye him." And he said, "Moses testified of me." And I believe in the one they call Jesus because of the empty tomb. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he said that he was proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. He was proven to speak and to teach the truth. He said exactly what would happen, and it happened as he said. 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb, and he was resurrected from the dead. Are you here this morning? Do you believe in the one they call Jesus? Jesus is the last hope. There's not going to be another prophecy of the coming of Christ. The only unfulfilled fulfillment is the second coming of Christ. Jesus, after his crucifixion and resurrection from the dead, he met his apostles in Galilee on Pentecost. And he was taken up into heaven. The apostles stood there looking as he was taken up into heaven. And some angels said, "Why this sick Jesus is taken up into heaven? He will appear in like manner as he was taken up." So we have the promise now of the second coming. The Old Testament taught the coming of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John taught that Christ is here. Acts to Revelation teaches that Christ will come again. We have the assurance of God that Christ will come again. Will you be ready? If in any way you need to respond, whether it be for baptism, rededication of your life to Christ, whatever your condition is, we'll extend to you the Lord's invitation today while together we stand and sing the number.